Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio as we head down the home stretch, get ready to wrap things up here for another week. And just a reminder, we're recording here on a Thursday this week for air on Saturday. Hope you're enjoying the new programming. And again, we apologize last week. There was just so much going on in the world. We didn't have time to get everybody together and do our usual thing here on a Saturday morning, but it's nice to be back, particularly on a day when we've got such nice temperatures, and tomorrow's going to be the same, actually be a little bit warmer. So get out and enjoy in your backyard, take the dog for a walk, go on a bike ride, whatever it is, to get your mental health back where it needs to be. Our Southern Utah correspondent, Bob Grove, now joins me on the phone. And it's just the two of us because of some phone struggles this morning. But Navi and Russell said to tell you hi.
Great. Yeah, well, I'll miss them.
No, you won't. That was nice. Okay. That was nice of you, but you know.
Yeah, they'll make it up somehow, I figure.
There you go.
When I'm not around, they'll definitely get back.
Yeah. Hey, I think since the last time we talked to you, Zion has closed. It was open the last time, wasn't it?
Gosh, I don't remember, but yeah, it's all the parks now in Utah are closed.
Yeah.
It's they've just kind of fallen like dominoes one by one, but so yeah, Zion, it's noticeable too.
I'm sure.
You know, living here, I live right on the Zion corridor in Hurricane Valley, and this time of year, where this place is just bustling with visitors, and it is definitely noticeable the change.
Well, I think Capitol Reef was the last domino to fall, so all of the Mighty Five are now closed, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, among many, and you're going to be with me for this whole half hour, but you know, the impact that that's having on the surrounding area and the smaller businesses right now.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, it's such a big part of the community. I mean, that park, you know, it's the fourth busiest park in the country, draws over 4 million visitors a year, and has such an economic impact on the area, and without it, it's very noticeable. The tourism industry is just being gutted right now. So we're all eager for this destroying angel to pass us by so that we can get back to business.
Yeah. You know a lot of these small businesses. They're part of your tours, and you've been in the business of traveling these back roads of Utah for a long time. Have you reached out to some of them? And I know you actually work as a consultant sometimes. What kinds of things are in those conversations?
Well, right now, with it, you know, I've been staying pretty close to the county tourism offices, and everybody's basically taking the same approach right now is, you know, stay in your county. They're trying to keep everybody still active, you know, practicing the safety measures, the guidelines that have been given to us by the state and CDC. But, you know, the idea is stay home, stay safe, but doesn't mean you have to stay locked down in your home, but get out into your backyard. So that's what they're doing in King County, Washington County, and Iron and so forth down here in the southern part of the state is still encouraging people to get out, keep the social distancing in place, but to go out and enjoy our backyard right now. So that's what I've been doing a lot of. Of course, I spend a lot of time in this area anyway, but now I'm actually my business partner and I are going out, and we're spending a lot of time discovering new areas that we haven't explored in the past. And, you know, also it's within the county, the counties are taking the position to close off our state parks and some of our recreation areas to county residents only.
Yeah.
So if you're from out of town, you know, I live in a vacation area. I mean, this is where a lot of folks from up there on the Wasatch Front come down for spring break and vacation. And so it's really been kind of tough for them to be able to come and visit here and not be able to visit their favorite spots.
Well, I can tell you, and some of the things that have been posted on social media, I couldn't get away with repeating on the air here without getting in trouble with both my employer and with the FCC. People are pretty fired up about this thing of, you know, you can only visit the state park if you live in that county because Salt Lake County doesn't have I mean, I guess there's a state park in Salt Lake County, or is there? If it is, it's nothing like the state parks in the rest of the state. And there's some real frustration. You know, what's the problem if I drive across a county line and go have a day out on Antelope Island as long as I maintain my social distance?
Yeah, it's a lot harder up there because you have a greater population density and it's all kind of meshed together. I mean, the Wasatch Front is multiple counties, and I mean, it's easy to cross from Salt Lake County to Davis County, Utah County, and you feel like, okay, where's the border? Where's the line? I can't step, put my foot over it. But, you know, here it's a little more distinctive, you know, where most all the counties in southern Utah have the attractions that we enjoy visiting regularly. But, you know, I was talking to our friend Eugene Swalberg earlier this week and asking how things went over Easter break last weekend, because I was anticipating a lot of people coming down to visit the areas, and we did see an influx of visitors, but I asked him how the parks went, and he said, you know, things seem to be settling and people are understanding that because they only had to turn away a few people, expecting it would be a greater number, but it was only a few, so people are getting it and complying with the policies. So everybody's hoping that this is only going to be for the short term, because it's getting really difficult for me to be in the vacation spot and have visitors come here and feel like, well, you know, what's there to do?
Yeah. Well, there's still plenty to do. That's the misnomer, is that even if you can't get into our state parks, there's lots of things you can do out there and still maintain your social distance. Matter of fact, if you do some of the things that you and your business partner are involved with, some of the trails, some of the hikes, whatever it is, you're going to automatically socially distance because nobody else is out there.
Exactly. I mean, well, last week we went on a hike behind Silver Reef, just off of Interstate 15. As you're coming into St. George, you'll see it across on the right, you know, to the west. And we went into Silver Reef, and right behind there is a box canyon. Hopefully I don't get in trouble for saying, you know, giving this away, but from people who don't want it discovered. And I don't really worry about that. But we were the only ones there. And what I had discovered, I'd never been back there. And so we went back there. We saw a lot of graded mining shafts, you know, that have been covered for protection. And just beautiful Box Canyon, just right at the foot of Pine Valley Mountain in a Red Rock Canyon. Just gorgeous. Nobody else was there. We were the only ones. And we found this in many other places in Washington County. You know, in the Red Cliffs National Conservation Area, or known as Red Cliffs Desert Reserve or Recreation Area, there's so much room to spread out. It's rare that you're going to run into any groups of people. So it really is easy. The BLM land is still open. You know, a lot of the public facilities and services are closed, but BLM land is still open and available to go out and explore.
Yeah.
So there's plenty. I mean, we're 67% public land in Utah. There's a lot of space out here.
When you talk to someone in the tourism office or small businesses, particularly those that are involved with tourism in general, is the general feeling that if you relied heavily on international guests, you're in trouble, but if you have always had mostly regional folks come by, you should be okay?
Well, yeah, when things change, when things go back to, you know, normal, you know, quotation marks.
Yeah.
Yeah, those who rely more heavily on international travel, they're going to have a hard time. That's the segment of travel that's going to take the longest to recover. I don't see that happening this year, especially Europe and Asia. We probably won't see a full recovery of the international tourist trade for a couple of years or so. It'll take a while to turn that on. So even the national inbound, so folks from back east and other areas, that'll recover a little more quickly, but not enough to really cover the damage being done this year. It's going to be regional travel.
Yeah.
And Utah does really, really well with regional travel because of the interstates that lead into Utah out of our neighboring states in the west. And so we should do fairly well with regional travel. And I think that'll be the case throughout the U.S., that people are going to stay more regionally, I think, on the most part.
Yeah. We need to take a break here, and then we'll come back for one final segment before we call it a week of KSL Outdoors Radio. You talk about traveling and how long it's going to take for European travel or Asian travel. Certainly, it might be the bigger one, but any of this international travel to come back is a big question mark. My brother and his wife and another couple friend of theirs have already paid in and were planning on taking a European motorcycle tour that would last 12 days in late August. Now, chances are that may still happen. However, and as much as we would love to be among the first to, you know, fly on those planes and help those small businesses on the back roads of Europe and stay in hotels and eat that food, there's still a big question mark about, you know, because it would encompass, I think, five different countries. Will all of those countries simultaneously be ready to accept us? And would the experience be what you would normally expect out of Europe? You know, that's a tough call.
Yeah, I don't think it's not. You don't just flip a switch and everything's back to normal. No. I think it's going to come in phases.
Yeah.
So we're going to see it kind of through a plan phasing back to a more normal flow. It's going to take a while to get there.
Yeah. Hang on, buddy. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and finish out the program. Bob Grove with us from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. .com. We'll come back and finish out in just a minute.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back. Final minutes of another week with KSL Outdoors Radio. Hope you've enjoyed it, and Bob Grove is still with me, one of many tourism development consultants out there from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark.com. You've got a big job ahead of you consulting people right now. You and I were just talking. You and I were just talking during the break, and I mentioned our family plans of trying to do that, and it's been in the works for years, and it just happened to fall in 2020. But our plans to do the Harley tour of Europe. Luckily, we had travel insurance, so you know, the loss will be minimal.
Well, maybe you can just join with one of the French Harley clubs that come here. You feel like you're traveling in France.
As long as we can
come across those all the time.
Is there a great place for escargot somewhere in St. George?
Yeah, my backyard at certain times of the year.
Oh, yeah, that's not what I was really talking about here. Hey, speaking of St. George, tell me about this campaign that locals are engaged in down there called Stay Greater.
Well, you know, the travel region here, Washington County, is called Greater Zion. That's the brand for this area. And so they're trying to keep everything within that theme. So Stay Greater is a campaign that they initiated recently to keep supporting businesses that are being so affected, you know, badly affected by what's going on, you know, restaurants and others. You know, the St. George golf courses are opening this week to residents only.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
another thing that's tough.
But
I'm to St. George to go golfing, but you got to be a resident.
Right.
So so they're putting out a campaign to stay positive, keep supporting as you can. You know, as an example, earlier this week, one of the food trucks was in town, and everybody that went to there supported it. There's a long line, everybody 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to do what we can to try to lessen the impact and to stay positive. Stay encouraging others, because this area, as you can imagine, Greater Zion, Washington County, is being severely impacted.
Yeah,
because it's such a tourism is such a big part of what we do here.
Well, and you pointed out to me tourism, and I knew these numbers, but to be reminded, third largest industry in Utah, tax revenue that saved each Utah household about $1,300 in taxes last year. That's what we're talking about. But when you whittle it down, it's keeping the doors open of these great small businesses that we really require and rely on, not just for food, but other services. And you raise a good point, and I'm glad St. George is engaged in this, because I look back, and I know this is a different situation than 9/11, but I'll always remember then President George W. Bush standing on a pile of rubble there at Ground Zero with the fire chief on the bullhorn, and he was telling everybody, look, to get this economy back up and running, you must go out, go to the movies, go to the restaurants, go to, you know, whatever you used to do, shop, spend money in the economy, keep the economy going. And in that case, it was to fight off terrorism. In this case, when we get the green light, it's going to be to keep those small businesses running, get our tax revenues up, and make sure that we all keep moving forward, because these kinds of things can be self-fulfilling prophecies if we all pull in our reins here and don't get back out and keep things moving.
Exactly. You know, it's like the kind of position we're taking is keep your feet on the ground in reality, but reach for the stars, you know, and stay positive out there, optimistic. We're all in this together, you know, so let's do what we can during this situation, and when it ends, you know, let's do what we can collectively to get our economy back on track and work together. You know, there was a news report earlier in the week. I believe it was earlier in the week on Washington City on one of the network news about how one of the reporters happened to be here in town, I think for her own leisure trip.
Oh, I saw that.
Spending some personal time. And she was noticed how very quickly how everything seemed normal. You know, there was still business going and people, it just didn't seem any different. There was traffic in that. And, you know, it feels much like that. I was just in St. George and it feels a lot that way, but everybody's still practicing social distancing. There, many are wearing masks. I mean, we're still following the guidelines, but we're not just, you know, staying, you know, in our homes and locked down that way. We're still out there because we can.
Yeah,
and just still.
My only problem with that ABC report, and this happens from time to time, I think she was from California, and I don't know whether she was there in search of a story or if she was just there on other, you know, personal time, and then found out, you know, she'd like to do a story about it. But it sort of had a snarky feel to it, and like, boy, these uneducated people off the back roads of Utah just don't get it.
That's exactly how it came across, that we're a bunch of redneck hicks here. But, you know, we're staying safe. We're staying greater, you know, but we're not just staying in our homes and, you know, waiting for, like I said, the destroying angel to come by, you know, and go out. We are out there still doing things, but we're doing it smart.
And I think that's going to be
the way most Utahns are. Yep. I think Utahns are smart enough to know that you just, you know, we still have the great outdoors to enjoy. Let's take advantage of it, but let's stay smart and stay safe.
And do what we can to keep all those small businesses up and running, save those jobs, get that tax revenue in there so that we can keep living the life we love so much here in Utah. And I really believe Utah will be among the first states to really ramp up and get going. At least I hope so. Well, to you and your family, buddy, stay safe. We miss seeing you here in the north, but know you've got fun things to do down there where you are, too.
We do. And I look forward to the day when we can all mingle once again and frolic in the outdoors.
Amen.
Enjoy
Amen.
Our great state.
All right. Road tripping with BobandMark.com. Don't go away. ABC News at the top of the hour. We'll get the latest going on in the world. And then on the other side, the greenhouse is on the road today. That big tomato event is happening at J&J. So we'll turn it over to Ton and Maria next.